Yom Kippur is a day of reflection and self-examination, and that's what our Jewish brethren all over the world are doing today. And a couple weeks ago, I reflected on what it means to be called and how, if you're called, how will you finish? And then last time on Rosh Hashanah, I spoke about breaking down what it means to be called, that we're all called to be ministers and witnesses. And we examine the call of Jeremiah. And today, I want to look at a more corporate form of calling, because I believe that as a Messianic congregation, that the Messianic believers were raised up in the end of the age to preach the gospel to the Jewish people. How else is the day going to come when all Israel will be saved, as we've read in our scripture liturgies? And so that's what I want to talk about. The title of my message today is To the Jew First. Father, I humble myself before you. I pray that you will allow people in their heart and in their spirit to catch the message that you're bringing forth, because it is your message. I submit to you, Lord. Help me just to get out of your way today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen. So, my contention is that God has raised up the Messianic community of believers to proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people. And first I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're going to read a very solemn warning from the Old Testament that's fitting with this Day of Atonement. Ezekiel chapter 33, starting in verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the peoples of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his own life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? What I believe this is telling us is that there are Jews all over the world who may not have heard the good news of the gospel of Yeshua. And they're going to die in their iniquity if someone doesn't tell them. We who know the truth and who have been given the good news, it's our obligation to share it with these other who haven't heard it yet. Now, I'm not telling you to go all over the world and preach the gospel to Jews, but there might be some in your neighborhood, in your workplace, or people that you come in contact with on a regular basis that you can open up to. And I pray that you will. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, he's talking about the Jewish people and about the call of the messianic believers, even in the first century, to preach the gospel message to their Jewish brethren, brothers and sisters in Messiah, or brothers and sisters who are God's chosen people but haven't heard the good news yet. He said he would never leave them and he would never forsake them. And the Bible predicts that all Israel will be saved. But if we sit around waiting for God to do it and we don't take responsibility for our portion, I believe that this warning in Ezekiel will pertain to us. The souls of the people that we could have told the good news to and didn't, if they die in their iniquity, will be on our head, it says in Ezekiel. And I want you guys to take this seriously, because it's not difficult what I believe we're being called to do. And we're going to look at what the Word of God says about that. But just please, please get your heart in the place where you believe that this is for you personally and that you're willing to do your small part to make the whole picture come alive. Galatians chapter 1, if you'll turn there, starting in verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Messiah to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Messiah. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Messiah. But I make known to you, brothers and sisters, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. So the gospel comes through revelation from Yeshua the Messiah. It comes when you accept him as your own personal Lord and Savior, and you choose to be born again into the kingdom of God. You get a revelation about the truth of who Yeshua is. I know it happened for me that way. Before I was saved, I could not pick up a New Testament Bible and read the scriptures. They were gibberish to me. If I stayed in a motel room and there was a Gideon Bible in the drawer and I opened it and tried to read it, I literally could not read it. And I assure you, I have no problem reading. It wasn't that. The Bible was veiled to me. As a Jewish man, the Bible was veiled to me. But instantly, when I accepted Yeshua as my Lord and Savior, I could pick up the Bible and I could read it, I could understand it, I could comprehend it. And not only that, but he gave me 20 years worth of biblical knowledge in 6 months, as per a prophetic message that he had for me. So the Bible comes by revelation, and if you're saved, if you're a child of the kingdom, you've had a personal revelation of the gospel, of the truth of Yeshua, who he is. And you can share that with someone. Just like Paul is saying to the Galatians, I'm not giving you something that I got from men. I'm giving you the revelation I got from God. And if anybody tries to tell you any other gospel, curse on them, you know. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So Peter, who was with Yeshua throughout his entire ministry and lived to be fairly old, is saying in his old age in his letters that the gospel that they were given was preached not by them as men, but inspired by the Holy Spirit of God in them. So as I said, the gospel comes by revelation. The Holy Spirit is in you. You've had your own personal revelation, and you can share it with your Jewish brothers and sisters in your community and in your neighborhood. Let's look at Mark chapter 13. The Gospel of Mark chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. It says, the gospel must first be preached so to all the nations, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're going to have an encounter with a person, a God encounter, a Jabez moment with a Jewish person, God, the Holy Spirit, will come and give you the words. You don't have to worry or premeditate about what you will say. You need to trust God and be willing, and He'll come into you and give you the words that you need to touch that person, to lead them to the Lord or to quicken their spirit towards studying God's Word more, whatever it is. You don't have to rely on your self-reliance. When we have a reliance that's so much better, that's available to us, it's the reliance of Yeshua and the Holy Spirit of God, and it's going to be there for you. It's going to be there for you. When you turn on your computer and want to log on to the internet, do you doubt that it's going to be there? I mean, we just assume things, and our assumptions are good because the structure is sound. And I'm telling you, you can assume that the Holy Spirit will give you the words if you have a moment to speak to a person and it's a divine encounter. He'll give you the words. You don't have to rely on premeditated thoughts of your own. He will give you the words. But as we learned, you already have your own personal testimony. You already have a revelation of the gospel in your own life. And you can always share that. But you can also count on the Holy Spirit, the counselor, to be there and give you the words that you need just when you need them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. In all the things that the Bible says God requires of us, Yeshua has come and already done every one of those things for us, and makes it possible for us to do it, not in our own sufficiency, but because we have His DNA in us now. And because we are being transformed from glory to glory into the image of the Son of God. So you don't have to think in human terms, how am I ever going to do this? You just have to accept what God has already done and make it part of your daily life. That's all. Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. It's a verse that's parallel to the verse I read from Mark. When they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. It's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now remember that the Word of God never returns to Him void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it's sent. And it's God's words, not yours. So you have no reason to be anxious if you feel called to share with a Jewish person. Because the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words. You've already had a revelation of the gospel in your own life. And you have a personal testimony you can share with them. And they're just your friends and neighbors and co-workers. They're human beings like us. And, you know, each person has a God-shaped spot in their heart that needs to be filled by Yeshua. And as long as Yeshua is not filling that place in their heart, there's a disconnect or a feeling of emptiness or of something missing in that person's life. I know that you all understand what I'm saying because you felt that way before you asked Yeshua to come and fill that place in your own heart. I know that I did. So you're giving the Jewish people that you share the gospel message with a tremendous gift, not only eternal life, but that completeness and peace that surpasses all understanding when that hole, that God-shaped hole in their heart is filled by Yeshua's love and His Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about how it changed you. Don't you want your brothers and sisters who don't know yet to be changed that same way? Romans 1, verse 16. This is, of course, the title verse for this message. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Let's look at Acts chapter 26. The Apostle Paul was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee, trained in religious matters in Jerusalem. And he had an encounter with Yeshua on the road to Damascus when he was going to torment Christians and arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem to be murdered. But on the road to Damascus, Yeshua came to change his life. Acts 26, starting in verse 14. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Again, he's going to get a revelation from Jesus. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So he's quoting what Yeshua told him to the king, Agrippa, and then he said, Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, it is my prayer that we will all be able to say that in the day of reckoning. Therefore, O King, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I fulfilled the call that was on my life. As a messianic congregation, we fulfilled the call to preach the gospel to our Jewish neighbors. Turn back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brothers and sisters, that through this man I preach to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, meaning Yeshua, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Shabbat. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes, followed by Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, to the Jew first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, 'I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth.'" So we all know that in the first century when Yeshua came, he was rejected by the Jews. And so the Lord gave instructions to Paul and Barnabas to take the gospel message to the Gentiles and spread it all over the world. And in the preamble of the Gospel of John, it said he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many as would receive him, he gave the right to be called children of God, even those who believe in his name. So there's work left to do. It wasn't God's intention that the Jews should be left behind. It was only for a season, and that season is coming to an end. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Messiah's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord." Verse 14, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Messiah and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." My point in reading this scripture is that the Lord will open doors for you. "Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find." If you get on your knees and start asking, "Lord, open doors for me with my Jewish neighbors. Open doors for me with my Jewish coworkers. I know you'll be there to give me the words, but open the door." "When I came to Troas to preach Messiah's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord." May God open doors for each and every one of you in the coming weeks and months. And may you be willing to walk through those doors and trust God to give you the words. Trust your own revelation of the gospel of Yeshua. And trust your own testimony. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12. "I thank Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Yeshua the Messiah. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Yeshua the Messiah might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." So God not only opens doors for you, but he has created a pattern in your own life that you can use to convince others to believe in Yeshua as Lord. You can say, "I used to be like this, then Yeshua came into my life, and now I'm like this." If you want those same changes to happen in your life, all you have to do is say this prayer with me. So your life can be a pattern to inspire others. It says it in God's Word. And look at verse 13. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Many of you think that things that you've said or done in the past disqualify you for being used by God. But as we've heard today, your sins are forgiven. You've been washed clean by the blood of Yeshua. God chooses to remember them no more. They're as far from Him as the east is from the west. And the past will not be held against you by the Lord. It can only be used to inspire somebody who needs to hear the gospel message, because you could say, as a pattern for them, I used to be like this. Then Jesus did this in my life, and now look at what I'm like now. So the past will never, ever be held against you by the Lord. In fact, you and possibly other people are the only ones who hold the past against you, but certainly not our Father in heaven or our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Yeshua the Messiah came into the world to save sinners. How many of you are sinners? Yeah, we all are. My reason for asking that is Yeshua came into the world for you. You're the reason that He came. Mickey Robinson, a prophet from Nashville, Tennessee, taught that the greatest revelation any individual person can have is that God loves them. God loves you. He came for you. You're the reason He came. Gordon Robertson taught on the 700 Club that he received a revelation in Asia when he was burned out and didn't think he had anything to give. And there was a huge convention of people. An amazing event was on in a stadium outdoors with thousands and thousands of people. And the Lord said to him, even if you were the only man left on earth, I still would have come and died just for you. I want each of you to say that about yourself. You're the reason that He came, and you can share that with someone who desperately needs a reason to live and a reason for hope. There's a lot of hopeless people out there. Some of them are our Jewish brothers and sisters. But you could say, you know, you're the reason that He came. I can show you a scripture that will get right into your spirit, and you'll know that you're the reason that He came. Thank you, Lord. Just a few more scriptures and I'll wrap this up. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Very short verse. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeshua said, I came for the lost tribes of Israel. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. These things that I do, you shall do also, and even greater things shall you do, because I go unto my Father. These promises are for us right now. Yeshua couldn't reach all of God's chosen people during His 3.5-year ministry. But He sowed the seed of Himself into 12 apostles, and then to 120, and then to 5,000, and then all over the entire world. And there's millions and millions and millions of believers in Yeshua who are sowing those seeds now, and that's how we do greater works than He did. And it's time for us to sow one of our own special seeds into the lost sheep of the house of Israel that's right here in our neighborhood, or that we work with, or that we go to school with, or that we meet with, or that we socialize with. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And then verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Messiah, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You know, you don't really have to change much to be able to share with a Jewish brother and sister in your community, in your neighborhood, or in your workplace. But, you know, there are some things that they are turned off by. One thing that turns off my Jewish friends is Christian jargon. But they do respond if you talk to them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and about being God's chosen people that he never wants to leave or forsake, and about how the Old Testament scriptures, such as Psalm 2 and Isaiah 53, proclaim who Messiah is, and that if you read those scriptures and you're a thinking person and your eyes are open, you have to understand that it's Yeshua that they're talking about. And you can share those scriptures right from the Tanakh, from the Old Testament, with your Jewish brothers and sisters. And, you know, God will tell you if it's the right time. He'll open the door. He'll give you the words. But you have things that you can also have in your toolbox. But don't come to them with, you know, typical Christian jargon. That turns them off. But they do respond to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they do respond to knowing that you understand that they were God's chosen people from the beginning. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And Yeshua said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Another way to find a door to your Jewish friends and neighbors could be if they're sick and you can pray for them. If they're having problems with relationships, and you can ask if you can pray with them. Lay hands on them and they will recover, and then they'll be a lot more open to the gospel of Yeshua. I promise you that. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. Then Yeshua said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. When you were saved, and you should also have sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With that, you are armed with everything you need to preach the gospel to Jewish brethren in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace, or wherever you encounter them. God has raised up the Messianic community to proclaim the gospel to the Jews. Ezekiel warned that if you are a watchman and see the enemy coming and don't warn those who are in town sleeping, and they're slain in their iniquity, their death will be on your head. But if you do warn them and they still don't take cover and escape, then their death is on themselves. So let's take this seriously. It's a solemn day of reflection. And I pray that each one of us will reflect on what can I do to bring this message of this gospel to Jewish people in my community and fulfill the Great Commission and not be found a watchman who failed to warn the sleeping people in the town. And I ask this, Father, in the name of Yeshua, because I know that it is in conformity with your will. Amen. Thank you very much.